last 40 days, we get to celebrate our Savior's victory, which is our victory over sin, our victory over death, our victory over the devil. Jesus lives, and so do we. To help us worship, we'll follow the order of service printed completely in the worship booklet for this morning. It's a service of lessons and song, and I pray that God's word emboldens you to call yourself God's child today and always. Our opening hymn for this morning is hymn 157, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, hymn 157. Let us worship the Lord. Worship continues on page 3 in the service booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Rejoice now, all you heavenly choirs of angels. Rejoice now, all creation. Rejoice, all the earth, in the radiance of the light now poured upon you,
made brilliant by the brightness of the everlasting King. Rejoice, O Church of Christ, clothed in the brightness of this light.
Let all this house of God ring out with rejoicing, with the praises of all God's faithful people.
This is the day when all who believe in Christ are delivered from bondage to sin and are restored to life and immortality. How holy is this day, when all wickedness is put to flight and sin is washed away.
How holy is this day, when innocence is restored to the Father, and joy is given to those downcast.
How blessed is this day, when man is reconciled to God in Christ. Let us pray. O God, you made the dawn of this most holy day shine with the glory of our Lord's resurrection. Grant that we who have been raised from the dead of sin by your life-giving Spirit may worship you in serenity and truth. through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. I don't know if you are familiar with the Washington Post fact checker. If somebody of some sort of political significance says something, they send a bunch of researchers to go check it out, especially during debate season. And then depending on the truthfulness of the statement, the individual will get a Pinocchio, or two, or three, or four. And I'm not sure how many it goes up to, but the greater the, shall we call it, mistruth, the more Pinocchios you get. How many Pinocchios does God get today? You go back and you look at the promises that he made to his people. You look at the promises he made to his son. You look at the promises he has made to you, the promises he has made to me. And how many Pinocchios does your God get? In these lessons, we see God keeping his word. We see our Savior alive. We see our sins forgiven. We rejoice with those who ran to the tomb. We find comfort with those who arrived at the tomb. We find instruction and blessing from our Savior in the lessons that follow. May God bless our worship today as we see our Savior God keeping his word. The first lesson is recorded in Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
So when you got here, what was the first thing you saw? When I got here, the first thing I saw was a car parked outside the gym door because somebody beat me here by about 3.5 minutes. She was getting ready to put the final touches on the breakfast, which you are all invited to, over in the Pear Center after church. But she has been working so hard to take care of all these details to make sure that everything is ready for this morning. So many people have been working so hard to make sure that everything is ready for today. Everybody from people working in the office, to working on the grounds, to people making this happen, to people doing things that we're never going to see. So many people want everything just so for this morning. And is that how you found it when you got here? I don't know what Peter was hoping to see when he got to the tomb, but John beat him there. And what did he see when he got to the tomb? Everything was done. Everything was ready for his Easter celebration. Everything folded up neatly because Jesus had won. Any sin that Peter might have been afraid of, any guilt John might have been carrying around, it's done. It's paid for. Fully and freely forgiven because Jesus took care of everything. Coming here this morning, you and I find the same thing. All of our sins have been paid for because Jesus died for them. All of our guilt has been taken away because a perfect, innocent Savior, Jesus, died for them. And he lives again. God kept that promise. He folded up these clothes nicely, neatly. Everything's ready. Everything is ready for your Easter celebration. May God bless you and enable you to enjoy it. The second lesson is recorded in John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
In the lessons that follow, we see the very human side of being a child of God. The promises of God are sure, certain, and secure, but until we get to heaven, we are going to deal with life and everything that is human. In the next lesson, we see how God deals with us when we are crying and confused. He comes to us with compassion. He comes to us with words of promise, with words of comfort. The third lesson is recorded in John chapter 20. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw the two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. A couple of Jesus' disciples were lost and wandering, not because they didn't know where they were going or because they didn't know the way to get there or how they were going to get there. They were lost and wandering because they let go of God's word. They let go of God's promise to them. This lesson reminds us that Jesus walks with us, not in some cheesy way, not in some sort of Hallmark way, not in some sort of don't worry about your issues or your sin or your problems sort of way. It reminds us that Jesus walks with us every day as he walks with us through his word. As he kept his promise to die for us, he kept his promise to rise again from the grave for us. That's the word of God that guides and directs us every day. It reminds us where we're going and why we're going there. We're going to heaven because Jesus lived and died for us. So we have a purpose, and God has a plan for us. Our purpose is to live for his glory. Our purpose is to share his glory. And his plan for us is to live with him forever. The fourth lesson is recorded in Luke chapter 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
the next lesson, Jesus comes and shares peace with his disciples. And peace is an interesting concept, I think, especially for a Christian. Because peace does not mean that everything is honky-dory. And we don't need things to be all peachy and rainbows for us to know that everything is going to be okay. We don't need to feel it to be at peace. We are at peace with God because of what Jesus did for us. We are at peace with God because we know one thing. We know Jesus lives, and because Jesus lives, we have new life with God now, and because Jesus lives, we are going to live with him forever in heaven. The peace that Jesus gives is one of many tools that God gives us to get through this life and to be at peace during this life. This lesson will not take your problems away or your issues away, but it can settle your conscience. It can put you at peace. Fifth lesson is recorded in John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were all together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord. Until we get to heaven, we probably will have doubts from time to time. Doubts about our relationship with God. Can that really be true? Doubts about the fact that our sins are all forgiven because we feel badly about them. Can that really be true? maybe even doubts about all of God's word. Can this story really be true? In this lesson, God shares an interesting tool for us, and this might work for you, it might not work for you, but it gives us a place to put our doubts. You know, it took for Thomas to actually put his hand into Jesus' side. Maybe that's a good place for you to take your doubts. Because you can't do much to change them. You can't do much to change the way that you feel and the way that you think. But Jesus can. The fact that he rose from the dead, the fact that he lives, the fact that God keeps all of his promises is a great place to take our doubts. So perhaps this morning, whatever doubts you brought with you, as festive as this is, we are still human. You probably brought some with you. Put them into Jesus' side. He'll give you the confidence to trust in him, the confidence to see that it's going to be okay, the confidence to know that you are God's child and Jesus is on top of all things for you. He's taking you to heaven. I'm sure he can take care of what's troubling you today. Take your doubts to Jesus this morning. The sixth lesson is recorded in John chapter 20. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
I don't know if you have a favorite comeback or not. You have to be kind of careful when and how you use a comeback, don't you? You can get yourself into a lot of trouble. Have you ever told someone to put a cork in it before? I think we all understand what that comeback means, right? You're just done. You don't want to hear it anymore. You're so sick of it. If you hear it one more time, right? Well, put a cork in it. We have one more practical application for the Easter message today. And I don't know that it's to tell Satan to put a cork in it, but we can definitely tell him to put a fish in it. Because every day he's going to work on you, won't he? Every day he's going to get you to try to doubt this message. He's going to get you to try to doubt Jesus and Jesus' love for you and the life that Jesus lived for you and the death that Jesus died for you. He's going to try to get you to doubt Jesus' care for you, his concern for you, all these lessons. Jesus doesn't care if you're crying. Jesus doesn't care if you're afraid. Jesus doesn't care if you're confused and lost. Jesus could never love somebody like you. Jesus could never love somebody like me. Tell him to put a fish in it. That's the message that Jesus gave to his disciples as they too were being built up to live for their Savior and to go with his good news that Jesus was everything the Old Testament promised he would be. That Jesus did everything necessary the Old Testament said he was going to do. Jesus backed it all up with a miracle and emboldened them to call themselves Jesus' disciples, to call themselves God's children. And may God's Holy Spirit give you and me the confidence to do the same, not just today on Easter Sunday, but every day. The seventh lesson is recorded in John chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thank you. In our prayer of the church this morning, we will remember our sister Dolores Johnson, who appears as very close to celebrating her first Easter with Jesus in heaven. We entrust her to the Lord's care, and he will call her to himself at the appropriate time. Until then, we ask God to be with her, and we entrust our sister Dolores to God's care. Let us pray. Thanks be to you, O Lord, for giving us the victory through your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you have not forsaken us or left us to our own destruction, but kept your ancient promise to send a Savior. We praise you for his perfect life, his innocent death, and his glorious resurrection. Because of your faithfulness to your promises, today is a day of victory. Savior Jesus, we praise you for carrying out God's plan of salvation. Your resurrection is undeniable evidence that you have triumphed over sin, death, hell, and the devil. Because of your resurrection, today is a day of victory. Holy Spirit, we praise you that through the gospel you have led us to know and to believe that Jesus is our risen Savior. Today we say confidently, as did the angel, he is not here, he has risen. Preserve us in faith, raise us to newness of life, continue to lavish on us the blessings of this day of victory. Triune God, kindle in our hearts a love for all people. Equip us with both the will and the words to tell others that Jesus has indeed risen from the grave. Use us to share the message of the empty tomb so that others too may rejoice in Jesus' Easter victory. Lord of life, comfort all who stand at death's door. Comfort all who mourn the loss of a loved one who has died in faith in the risen Savior. Comfort each of us with the assurance that because Jesus lives, we too will live. Remind us all that the death of a Christian is not a defeat. Because of Jesus, it is a day of victory. With those sure and certain promises in mind, dear Heavenly Father, we entrust our sister Dolores to your care. We thank you for those who are caring for her. We ask that you would be with her family and give them the strength and the courage to stand by their grandmother, their mother, their sister, their friend. We thank you for those who have supported her in these days. We ask that you keep her firm and strongly rooted in you and your love for her. And on that great day, welcome her to the eternal victory feast at your side with your Son, her Savior, Jesus. Thanks be to you, O Lord, for giving us the victory through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand as we make our preparations to receive the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By your Son's victory over the grave, death's reign is ended, heaven is open, and the payment for sin is complete. We celebrate with joy the glorious resurrection of your Son. We marvel at the depth of your love and stand in awe of your power. We are humbled by the compassion you have shown our fallen race. We gratefully receive the grace and strength you give us in this sacrament. Lead us to rejoice in the pardon offered and sealed through your Son's body and blood, and to live a life worthy of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our risen and ascended Lord.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Blood of your Lord, your Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you upon the cross for the remission of your sins. Savior God also says to you, take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord, your Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you upon the cross for the remission of your sin. May this, your Savior's true body and true blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting with God. Go at peace with him. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
also says to you, take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you upon the cross for the remission, the sending away of all your sins. Savior God also says to you, take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you upon the cross for the remission of your sins. May this, your Savior's true body and true blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting with God. Go at peace with Him. Your sins are forgiven. Body and true blood strengthen you and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting with God. Go at peace with Him. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. On the cross for the remission of your sin. Your Savior God also says to you, take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord, your Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you upon the cross for the remission of your sin. May this, your Savior's true body and true blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting with Him. Go at peace with God. Your sins are forgiven.
Our formal Easter celebration concludes on page 14. Please stand. Almighty God, you give us the joy of celebrating our Lord's resurrection. Give us also the joys of life in your service, and bring us at last to the full joy of life eternal. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. May the peace of knowing that your Savior lives for you, with you, eternally, may that go and be with you this week and always. It was a joy worshiping with you today. I extend a welcome to, especially to our worship guests. It's good to see some of you again, some of you for the first time. May Jesus bless the time you have spent in God's house today. We do have a small gift for you straight out the back doors. We have a DVD to share with you. If you would like or need a Bible, we have Bibles for you, and there's also some homemade bread for you to take or to share with someone else to invite them back to St. Mark's as well. Thank you again for being our worship guests this morning, and hopefully we can serve you next week and begin to develop a relationship with you in Jesus. A couple of announcements to share. Please remember to take the announcement sheet on your way out. You'll find those by the doors as you go. There's information in there, I believe, about the pictorial directory. It's a digital online directory that we're making. If you didn't sign up or have your picture taken, today is a great Sunday to do that. As you are all dressed up, the church looks beautiful. There will be a photographer on site soon, if not already, to take your picture. So please maybe track down Pastor Stray. I will do my best to connect you with the photographer so we can get as many of our families and faces in our directory as possible. Also, there's an Easter breakfast that I alluded to earlier that's been prepared. The quiches are fantastic. So if you're a little bit hungry and you want to enjoy some fellowship with one another, maybe get to know somebody that you don't know really well, head on over to the Parish Center and breakfast will be served actually 12 minutes ago. So please feel invited to attend the breakfast. Also, you're invited back for worship at 9 o'clock or 10:45, a brand new service, completely different message from Pastor Stray. So if you are looking for more of a sermon this morning, those are your worship opportunities for that. The choir will be singing, and we get to worship our God again. One other announcement, if you are a teen or if you have somebody of teen age, we are going to have a lock-in this coming Friday, and there's some information in the announcement sheet. The cost is $25. Hopefully not that much, depending on how many people sign up. We're having laser tag come in, and they're going to turn our parish center into some sort of combat zone for laser tag. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but I need to know how many people are coming, so please RSVP as soon as possible, and then hopefully we can bring that cost way down. Those are the announcements that I have. Please feel free to visit with one another before you exit God's house today. He is risen. He is risen.